We pause this morning for a word of welcome in this New Year celebration season. Now, there are many points at which to celebrate the New Year. January 1 comes to mind for our Jewish sisters and brothers. Rosh Hashanah is not far away. The first Sunday of Advent begins the Christian New Year liturgically and devotionally. And then we come to Matriculation and Matriculation Sunday, which is the rush of a mighty wave coming across and spilling over with happiness and joy and new life. It is the fountain of youth. It is wonderful. We welcome you, particularly our newest students among us and parents, our newest faculty and those coming in staff and administrative roles. Especially this morning, we welcome to our chancel and leadership of our service Dean Chris Muller, Dean Ken Elmore, our new chapel associate for campus ministry, the Reverend Dr. Robin Olson, Associate Provost Sue Kennedy, whose reading from James is the basis for the sermon this morning, and Director Catherine Kennedy from the Thurman Center. We welcome you, one and all. Thank you for being here. There's something about that moment on Bay State Road or someplace similar. I saw yesterday a car with a Connecticut license plate with a stuffed animal stretched out one window and two legs of a chair out the other, and daughter and mom driving. Some of us stood underneath a tree and talked about this high liturgical moment. The church should do some writing about the liturgy of entry come Matriculation Sunday. We'll assign one of our chapel associates that role for next year. It's a high moment. Someone of about my own age, maybe a little younger or older, was standing. We talked about a song that he remembered, and actually when I recited it, he began to sing it. I'm not saying he had a great voice, but we had a nice moment. He said, and I said, "You say yes, I say no, you say stop, I say go, you say goodbye, I say hello." Written by four British guys some years ago. I forget the name of the band. It's a transition. You say goodbye, and we say hello. When a new faculty member comes to Boston University, she senses a great rush of energy. When students come, as freshmen or new graduate students, they sense a rush of energy. When administrators move now from the summer mode to the fall mode, they sense that something's changed. The gearbox has shifted. You need a good clutch in your existential gearbox working on campus. When we come to church on Matriculation Sunday, we sense that there is something new. Well, there's a newness in every season, every equinox and every solstice and every morning. Like this one. This too is a day of new beginnings, time to remember and move on, time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone. We're here in a new season, and that makes our hearts unspeakably thankful and glad. Now, the gospel today is based on a pastoral epistle from James. Both Mark and James show the distance that the early church had come by the late first century from its birth in Judaism. Christianity is a branch grafted onto the tree of Judaism, but by the time of these writings, though the epistle is pseudepigraphically given the name of the brother of the Lord, there's little left, and actually practices that shouldn't need to be explained are in fact explained. That tells us something, Mark chapter 7. There's been some development, and James offers a word, a pastoral word. Through this summer, it is the pastoral epistle we have been waiting to give, to offer, to share with you, the announcement of the gospel as you begin. And it is a word of hope, and it is a word of adventure. Now, we recognize, particularly for those youngest and newest among us, that there is a sense of caution, too, in the air. You can have a sense that this time, it's tempting to have a sense that this time and this place are actually meant for somebody else. This is really somebody else's location, somebody else's season. You know, it's such a big place, and I've come from so far away. And there's something sweet in that temptation, as with all temptations, because if that were the case, we'd just sit back and let others be and let others do. But the gospel today is an announcement that this is your place, and now is your time, here and now, right here and right now. Oh, we won't dispense completely with caution. There's a need for some caution. When you're crossing the street, it's good to be careful, cautious. When you're making those first steps and choices, it's good to be cautious. When you sense that you're being invited to live or be in a way that is bitterly beneath who you are, that's a point to be cautious. I remember a few years ago, a young woman from a little town in South Carolina came in to the chapel after seeing a minor, not life-threatening, but nonetheless frightening accident on Commonwealth Avenue, and she just sat and waited for the waves to move. There is a point to caution. But though we encourage you a little bit to be cautious, as you so are, so too be caring. Cautious, yes, caring too. Protective, yes, proactive too. Self-critical, yes. Self-confident too. This is your season. This is your time. I know you observe the windows for those listening afar on the North Shore or in Worcester or down on the Cape. We're looking at the conic stained glass of Marsh Chapel standing here in the chancel this morning. A pastoral word requires a personal approach. We see Abraham Lincoln staring at us from his usual spot there in the east wall. He's here every Sunday. His voice is a little muted after 150 years, so you have to listen, but this is your time with him. Abraham Lincoln, Francis Willard, abolition, prohibition. Lincoln wrote December 3rd, 1861, his first letter to the Congress. We'll remember it this weekend because this time is Labor Day weekend. We remember, I don't hear this very much across the land, those who came before working with their hands so that we might work by thinking or speaking, or as our friend Peter Gomes of blessed memory used to say, those of us who make our living by the sweat of our jaw. Those who worked in the coal mines and in the dockyards and in the farms. Those of whom Lincoln said in his first letter to Congress, labor is always prior to capital, because without labor, there would be no capital. Labor is always the superior of the two. I don't hear that as much today. I know, I went to college too, that we operate in a system that is capitalist. It's capitalism. We support that. It's not laborist. It's not laborism, although notice the change, the distinction there. We might like to hear in our time with Lincoln, labor comes first. This is your season. It's ours together. This is life, so live it. Here is learning, so love it. Here is friendship, so embrace it. Here is challenge, so face it. Here is failure, so admit it. This is the life you are given in your season. It's yours. You know, when you have a chance this year, and by the way, Boston opens itself to those who have a little bit of time and energy and a good pair of shoes, and you can make your way easily and safely. Take time to go on down the Esplanade. Take a day, a Saturday, to jog the Emerald Necklace. Take a moment to go and get a standing room ticket in Fenway and see the remains of the Reds. I mean, the remains of the season of the Red Sox. Head on down to the park. The first day it snows, this is your role. Take a walk in the public garden, and Groundhog Day at 1 p.m., join the rest of us skating as we do every year on the Frog Pond. This is the most blessed of historic places and times. It's yours. Carpe diem, as my Latin teacher mother said. Seize the day. This is not somebody else's time. This is yours, ours. Nor is this somebody else's space. You know, with a city that's 350 years old, Boston, the home of the bean and the cod, where the Lowells speak only to the Cabots and the Cabots only to God, you think this must be somebody else's, or a campus that has almost 350 buildings. That's 10 times as many as 40 or 50 years. Others must know this place better. I'm just 31 teaching my first course in biology. That fellow down the hall who's been here 30 years, this must be more his place. I'm new, and yet this is very much your place. The epistle to James reminds us that we are to be not hearers, but doers of the word, that we're not to sit and look at ourselves in the mirror, we might say today, for one generation, the television, for another generation, the computer, for all a screen. It keeps us from our own most self. This is your place in which to grow in your capacity for moral discernment, to know the difference between good and bad, up and down, right and wrong, lasting and passing. This is your place to grow in your capacity for health, to avoid any lastingly addictive substances, abuse of drugs or alcohol, a balance that gives health. This is your place, this Boston University personalist campus. More on that another Sunday. A philosophy that shaped Martin Luther King, in which the human being is honored. A place for you, then, in this great tradition, to honor others, especially soul and spirit, and particularly body in times of intimacy and engagement. You honor one another. This is a time to stand aside from the moving force, the pervasive influence of a kind of materialism and greed. There's more to life, as your uncle or your aunt may have told you. There's something lasting in life about which you're here to study. This is a place for you to grow in your capacity for empathy with others. There are people, I won't call out their names, university leaders, community members, faculty, right here this morning, who will model this year for others. You can learn from them, and these are habits that require practice. A capacity to feel others' hurts and to understand others' fears. Oh, it's tempting to think this big city, this big campus, this must be somebody else's spot. Hear the good news. Sursum corda, lift up your hearts. This is your time, and this is your space. We close sometimes here, finishing the sermon, with a New England voice, that of Robert Frost, not just because he was from our area, but because the magic, the music in his words came. Oh, I know he built on Longfellow and on Browning. But he found grace in the voice, the way people talk against a fence, in a field, in a kitchen, in a barn, on a bench. Miracle of human speech. And he pointed one night to a star and said, "Here now, it asks of us a certain height. So when at times the mob is swayed to carry praise or blame too far, we may take something like a star to stay our minds on and be stayed." Will you pray with me? Let us pray. Gracious God, we pause before you this morning, thou silent mystery in whom we live and move and have our being. Grant us peace, we pray. Give us grace, we pray. In the eye blink of these 4 years, give us peace to resist what we would regret. Give us grace to receive what will make us rejoice. 4 years hence, diplomas in hand, may we be heavy with joy and free of regret. Help us to avoid the regret that follows abuse of ourselves, our environment, substances, and others. Warn us away from what lastingly we will regret. Fill us with a daily sense of adventure to embrace what lastingly we may enjoy. Friendship, discovery, reading, effort, achievement, accomplishment, self-giving, devotion, and love. Dear God, grant us peace to resist what we would regret and grace to receive what causes us to rejoice. And give us, we ask, 1,000 tongues with which to sing thy praise, morning and evening. Amen.